Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, I'm the Jeff Crockett Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Crockett Show, presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
So I Take What I Want by Sam and Dave, some Memphis music. Throwing that out to Zach Kleiman, who decides what he wants, and he goes to get it on draft night.
I smiled as soon as I heard the lyrics. That was fabulous, Chris. Like, a lot of them are well-targeted. This one, little Memphis music, and it is the perfect theme. He really does go get what he wants. Like, I mean, people always say that. I got the guys we wanted, or we took the best. A lot of times they say we take the best player available. He goes to gets the guys he wants. I mean, it was interesting last night where he also said that their history of doing it and the way that it has played out and the fact that it's been even better than they might have anticipated has reinforced their belief that they're doing it the right way. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this front office, and I think they've been really good. I think, and it's one thing for you to sort of talk yourself into all your moves have been good.
Right.
But I feel like a lot of the discussion around it, not even among fans, but among like media, has become a little fanish about it. Like, it's not at all clear that moving up for Santi Aldama, because that was our guy, was the right move at all. I mean, Herb Jones would have been better, at least last year. Jury's still out on that, right? It's not crystal clear that Zaire Williams, like, if you did a redraft, people have done redrafts, and, like, there have been guys picked after him that people have had ahead of him. The Desmond Bane thing was obviously a grand slam. But, you know, I think their track record is good, but it is not flawless. And
But I don't think anyone's. In terms of the we get the guy we want and we don't care what we pay, Justice Winslow is another miss. Like, but right. It is so overwhelmingly positive that it is. You do at some level trust them. Now, there's a difference in that when they picked Desmond Bane, anyone would have picked. Like, the consensus, the smart draft people out there was saying, why is he still available? No one was saying that with Santi Aldama, and no one was saying it last night with David Roddy.
Right. And so, like, to me, you know, we'll find out. I think clearly they decide the positive, I don't want to say positive spin, but the positive outlook on this is, we're not just taking guys who fall to us. We want to actively find guys who we want, who we have a plan for, and go get them. The critical spin on it would be, like, you know, you might get better value if you let the draft come to you some, because you're expending extra stuff all the time to move up, in a lot of cases to move up for guys it's not clear you need to move up for. I don't know what the right answer to that is. But certainly, you know, they have a lot of confidence in their own scouting, and they're very intentional about getting players that they actively want.
It is interesting because, in some ways, you would think the way that they operate in all these different ways, in making sure that at every turn they are maximizing the value of every second round pick, every transaction. They're squeezing every bit of value they can out of everything. You talk about it all the time. The good and not just the big, they focus not just on the big things, but on the little things. It's weird in some ways, and it's sort of, it is not the way that the analytics crowd, whatever, would have you do it is, yeah, we don't care what we paid. We want Jake LaRavia. You know, it's sort of,
right.
In some ways, runs counter to the way you would think they would think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately the value propositions are close enough that, as is so often the case with this stuff, it just matters where the picks hit. You know, if you look at the Jake LaRavia thing, so take out the players, it's 22 and 29 for 19, except they got a future second-round pick in the deal. And while it's not the same pick, they got a future second-round pick in that deal, and they ended up sending out a different future second-round pick to get Kennedy Chandler. So it's sort of the 22 and the 29 for the 19 and the 38, right? Which maybe does not equal out in terms of expected value, but like it's close enough that if the picks hit, nobody cares. And so it's that kind of thing. You know, are they going to be right on the players? They're not going to be right on all the players, but are they right enough, right? I think the move, the LaRavia and the Chandler moves, to me, it's hard to have much of a quarrel with. It's just a matter of not whether, you know, you pick the right players with those picks. I think the movement to do that is all totally fine. To me, the Roddy thing is a more interesting, maybe more questionable, but certainly more sort of debatable and interesting proposition among the stuff they did last night.
Well, we'll take that in a minute. Let's start with LaRavia. Seems to be, well, first of all, this does seem to signal the exit for Kyle Anderson, given that they get picked two combo forwards.
Yeah, I think so.
But then secondly, everything you read about him, I kind of like him. You know, he moves well without the ball. He's a good shooter, although not a high volume shooter. And his defensive numbers were tremendous, honestly, at Wake. I don't have a conviction about any of these players, but when you read about Jake LaRavia, it feels pretty persuasive.
Well, he was on my list. Like when Drew and I did our podcast at the beginning of the week, and we each picked like five guys we liked and that might be in the 20s in the draft. Jake LaRavia was on my list. He was not number one on my list, but he was on my list. And so I did spend a little bit of time with him. I do like him from what I've seen. I think if you're 6'8 and you can drill corner threes and play high IQ, you know, hustling team defense, I think you can probably play in the NBA. I think the, you know, the upside questions are going to be, you know, in terms of is his athleticism going to translate some of that other stuff. But if you're a 6'8 guy who can knock down catch and shoot threes and you're a high IQ player, I think you can probably, you know, you have a good chance of being an NBA player. So, you know, he wasn't, you know, to the degree that my board matters, which is almost not at all, if not entirely not at all, like he wasn't necessarily the top guy I had at that point, but like he was on the list. So I do like him as a prospect.
Okay, and it's interesting to me that you think the Roddy one is more questionable. You said apart from the apart, in other words, it seems to me that they both, if you look purely as a value proposition, you might say LaRavia is being, you know, two number ones to go up. You point out they get the number two. It's interesting from a value. There is some criticism there from a value perspective. And then the Roddy one, also some criticism from a value perspective. De'Anthony Melton was an absolutely valuable player for the Grizzlies. It seems to me the more the criticism there is more of David Roddy as a player
NBA.
Yeah.
It's both. But let's start with the trading for the pick thing before the David Roddy thing. To me, that is a debatable proposition, but one that is not that troublesome, really. The reality is, though, that whoever's picked at 23 in any draft has a less than 50% chance of being as good as De'Anthony Melton. So your odds that you're getting a player as good as the one you gave up, I think, are, you know, not slim, but they're underwater. They're under 50%. And Melton was only like 23, 24 years old and still under contract for two more years on a good deal. And so from a player standpoint, I mean, your odds of finding better, I think, are lower than 50%. But Melton had sort of topped out, I think, on this roster in his role, which was backup scoring guard, eighth, ninth, tenth man in a rotation. I think he'd hit a ceiling on that. And you were going to have Melton, even though I think his contract is good, which is why he had a positive value, you were going to have him under contract for 2 years and a total of $16 million. So as a bench player, and you swap that out for a player you're going to have under control at a minimum for 4 years and about $11 million. And so it gets back down to, do you hit on the pick or not? And so if you hit on the pick, it's a good deal. If you don't hit on the pick, it's a bad deal. And the Roddy thing, I don't know. I mean, I watched a little bit of him. He's such an unusual player.
Yeah.
I think it's really difficult, at least for me, maybe not for the Grizzlies, I think it was difficult for them, but for me and for lots of other people, it's just hard to get a handle on what you think he's going to be translated to the NBA. When you watch clips of him, it looks like if you ever played like college intramurals or whatever, it looks like one of the football players wandered over and is like playing pickup with the basketball players. And like he's scoring and rebounding and he's doing stuff, but it like looks weird. And that's what David Roddy looks like.
It's funny. I was reading the draft report at The Athletic, and he says he begins with one of the best players in college basketball last season, despite a very strange frame. It is not an exaggeration to say Roddy is one of the most skilled players in the draft class. If you've ever met one of those bigger guys at the YMCA who just knows exactly how to throw his body around while also being super strong, having incredible touch, and knowing exactly how to play winning hoops, that's Roddy's game, except he's pulling it off the highest level of hoops.
Let me be clear. It's not just his size and build. I mean, his build is roughly similar to like a Zion Williamson, but he doesn't move like Zion. Like, he moves awkwardly. He's like, really is like just throwing bull in a china shop, just throwing this body around, and it looks odd. Now, I'll say it does not look odd when he squares up and takes a jump shot. It actually looks really good when he does that. You know, he shot 47% from three last year. When you watch him shoot, like, it's a smooth stroke. And so, you know, the fact that he can shoot that well and you know, he is a good feel for the game and the body. I think he'll probably be an effective offensive player. I just wonder if he's going to be able to guard in the NBA. Is he going to be too slow to guard on the perimeter or too short to guard bigs? And he'll be strong, obviously, but I don't know. He's a really weird player. It'll be fascinating to watch him.
I want to read a little more. His jumper numbers were bonkers. Hit 44.1% of his catch and shoot attempts and made his pull-up shots at a 57.4 effective field goal percentage. The pull-up efficiency was top 15 nationally among the 752 players in Division I to take at least 50 pull-up attempts in the half-court per synergy. Beyond that, made 51% of his attempts from three beyond 25 feet. And yet, then you go to the summary. Roddy was one of my favorite players in college basketball. I want nothing more for him to find. This is Vincini. I want nothing more for him to find success in the NBA. The league would be a better place with Roddy's presence in it. He's just a very difficult to peg into a league in an era where defensive versatility is valued arguably above all. Roddy can play at the NBA level offensively. I have few doubts about that. But then, yes, can he play defensively? Essentially, so sounds like he's going to be fun to watch.
I mean, I'll say this, as someone who just enjoys watching basketball players, I'm going to lament the likely exit of Kyle Anderson, who for his quirkiness and singularity. Right. At least they're replacing him with someone who is a very different player, but is also sort of quirky and singular in his own way. So if he ends up being good, it'll be great. Like, it'll be a fascinating guy to watch, and you'll enjoy that fascination a lot more if he's good.
Yeah. It is funny, like, from a fan perspective, it would have been easier for people to understand if Kennedy Chandler had gone with that pick and David Roddy had gone with the Kennedy Chandler pick. I like the Kennedy Chandler pick, though.
At 38?
At 38?
At 38, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had some skepticism about him. He was not one of the guys I was interested in the first round. But you're getting him for a second-round pick, and so, sure, why not?
Okay, so we think that we know that D'Anthony Melton's gone. We think that this means pretty definitively that Kyle Anderson is gone. That gets us to Tyus Jones. Last night seemed to increase the likelihood he would be back.
Just reading tea leaves without knowing anything, I would just slightly, I would say. One thing is, like, they don't have any guard depth. And, like, Kennedy Chandler is a one-and-done second-round pick. I don't think he's going to be in the rotation on opening night. Even though Zaire Williams surprisingly was, I don't think Kennedy Chandler is going to be projected to be a 10-man rotation guy right out of the jump. From the moves they made and the way Zach Kleiman talked, it sort of sounds like they're starting to think of Zaire Williams more as a two than a four in terms of when he slides. Like, maybe, you know. But right now they don't have any guard depth behind their starting backcourt, like real guard.
No, Desmond Bane comes out. Who goes in? Right. Yeah.
Right. And so they got to do something, and maybe multiple somethings. And, you know, re-signing Tyus Jones would take care of part of that. But I feel like even that wouldn't be enough. I feel like they have to add a guard. Even if they keep Tyus Jones, I feel like they need to add another true guard to the roster. I'm not comfortable with the idea that you're only relying on Zaire Williams, who's more of a three, and Dylan Brooks is more of a three, and John Conchar is more of a three to take up your two-guard minutes.
Explain the Danny Green thing to people. Danny Green came back as part of the D'Anthony Melton deal.
So I'm packing this morning because I'm leaving town in like 20 minutes. So I haven't had time to like call and try to confirm this. It is my belief Danny Green had a contract that was not fully guaranteed, and there was a guarantee date, like on July 1st or whatever. At least, at minimum, part of that contract had to be guaranteed to make the trade legal. So you'll see some people on social media say, oh, the contract's not guaranteed until July 1st, so they'll cut him. No. At a minimum, part of that contract had to be guaranteed for the trade to happen. It is my belief, I have not confirmed this with anyone officially, it is my belief that the entire $10 million had to be confirmed for that trade to happen. And so he's on an expiring contract. And my assumption is that they will be looking for, and he had two ligament tears. He's probably not going to play next season. So it's my belief that they will hold that contract until they need a roster spot in the hopes of using it in a trade. And we'll see whether they don't find a deal this summer, or are they going to take it into the season? To me, that's the open question.
So what is the work now to be done in the summer? Like what comes next?
Well, the Tyus Jones thing is the starting point. And so if you assume Jarrett Culver walks and you assume Kyle Anderson walks, and the first one of those is a given, and the second one at this point looks like north of 80%, right? Mm-hmm. So if you assume those two guys walk, you get down to the Tyus Jones question, and you can sort of there's one main fork in the road. If he just goes and signs somewhere else without you trading him, he just goes and signs, then you will be a cap space team. You'll have roughly, I'm estimating here, $16-17 million in cap space. If he doesn't walk, then you will not be a cap space team. So either you're going to re-sign Tyus Jones, or you're going to sign and trade him somewhere, but you won't have cap space. But what you will have in that situation is the mid-level exception, which is like $10 million. I think unless they have a clear plan to use cap space, the best case scenario for the Grizzlies is either re-signing Tyus Jones themselves or signing and trading him somewhere for something they want, and then still having $10 million of a mid-level to potentially use, although at this point you have sort of a roster crunch. And so, to me, you have to clear up a roster crunch while also adding one or two guards to your team. And by adding, I'm including Tyus Jones as an addition since he's a free agent.
So let's just say you sign Tyus Jones, then you would still have the mid-level to go get another guard, basically.
And even if you.
And who's the kind of player who's out there? What kind of guards could fill that position?
It's a good question because I haven't done a free agent column. I'll probably do that next week, even though I'm on vacation. And my initial focus was not on two guards because they still had Bane and Melton. You know, Malik Monk is out there. I sort of doubt the Grizzlies are going to spend what it takes to bring in a Malik Monk. There are some other sort of lower-level guys. Gary Harris, if you want just a veteran two-guard to soak up minutes, who's not going to be that expensive. Gary Harris, who was with Orlando last year, is not a bad option. If Tyus Jones walked, like not a sign of trade or whatever, I kind of like the idea of DeLon Wright, who was a Grizzly for a minute a couple years ago, because he's big enough to both back up John Morant and play some two. I think he would be a good value signing for the Grizzlies if they don't bring back Tyus Jones.
He was in Atlanta, right?
He was in Atlanta last year. It was Trae Young's backup.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm looking at what does it take for us to bring back Tyus Jones, and B, are there sign and trade deals out there for us to do that we think are good for us? I mean, to me, that's the first order of operations. Of course, there's still the possibility that there's some big thing out there that they do. I don't think that's likely at this point, but like, you know, last night didn't shut off the idea of any kind of trade you want to dream up, right? It's still out there.
Still can go get Kevin Durant.
Go to Kevin Durant. You know, sign a trade for DeAndre Ayton. We can dream up all kinds of stuff that won't happen. Like, none of this stuff will happen, but, like, it might happen.
It is interesting, though. Like, the DeAndre Ayton thing, the fact that, I mean, obviously the winners, quote, on last night, it generally perceived to be Detroit and Houston, chief among them. You may like what San Antonio did, too. They got an interesting collection of players. But Detroit, I don't know. I would think that Jalen Duren, I don't know that he takes you out of the Ayton thing, but makes it less likely. I don't know. Does he?
It seemed, you know, when they cleared all that cap space, a lot of people's first thought, myself included, was, okay, who are they throwing this at? Are they trying to go after Ayton? Are they going after Brunson, Miles Bridges, whoever? It seems to me now more likely that they're going to, that if they do anything with it, it's more of what they did last night, which is they took on Kimber Walker's contract to get something they wanted. It might be that. It might be, hey, are you trying to get rid of salary? Send us first-round picks, send us young players, we'll take your salary. I think that's probably more likely than a big free agent move for them.
So then beyond the incredible mess that it was last night, did any of that else strike you as particularly genius or ridiculous that any team did? If you were having to do the winners and losers today?
No, I mean, I like everyone else. If I'm a Detroit Pistons fan, like, they're not going to be good next year, but I'm excited about the direction with the Pistons. I think Ivy and Jalen Duren are really, really good pieces to add to fit with Cade Cunningham. I'm excited about that. I think, you know, Houston's a ways off, but I agree that adding, you know, Jabari Smith and Tari Eason, you know, to Jalen Green and makes them sort of interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Beyond that, I don't see a lot that was, like, needle-moving to me. What was most notable about draft night was that for all the talk of there's going to be so many trades and so much movement, the most meaningful player who got traded during the NBA draft was De'Anthony Melton.
And the other teams in the West did nothing, really, right? It was not of consequence. The players around the Grizzlies, either good or bad.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like what New Orleans did.
Yeah.
But it's still, to me, it comes back to are they going to have healthy Zion or not. I think the Dyson Daniels kid, if he pans out,
yeah, it could be really good.
Is a great fit for them. He's exactly the kind of player they need. But, you know, having the kind of player you need only matters if the player pans out. And so we'll see. But I think he's a great fit in terms of type. You know, a big guard who doesn't need to shoot a lot because they got plenty of players to do that. Portland, I thought Portland was somewhat curious. They make the move for Jerami Grant, like they're trying to win now, and then the Shaedon Sharpe thing seems like sort of goes the other way, so I don't know about that.
Well, Chris, keep packing. Thank you very much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.